We'll start the beginning of Beshalach, although there's so many fascinating midrashim at the end, but we'll give it a little bit of a start this week. Long, long midrash, the first one. Now, I think that the midrash is bothered by a question, although the Yefei Tohar has a different question. I think the midrash is bothered by the following question. Why is it beginning Vayihi Bishalach Paro Esa'am? It was when Paro sent out the nation. Why are we giving Paro here, for lack of a better term, the credit for sending out the nation? Why doesn't it just say that the nation left? When the nation left, why is it Bishalach Paro Esa'am? So, could have been when the nation left, Hashem didn't lead them through the land of the Plishtim, etc. Why is it when Paro sent them out? What is that signifying? The Yefei Tohar says that the question is a little different, because Vayehi, in some places in Chazal, it says, is a Lashon Sara. It's a Lashon of oppression, of something that's not so good. But we're leaving the land. What's so bad about it? What's bad? But I don't know. I mean, it doesn't always come out like that, that Vayihi is the Lashon Sara. So, anyway, but that's how he learns. And I believe that my question is more what the Midrash wants, but maybe both, but I'm sure both will be satisfied as we go on. So, the Midrash begins with something that will go off to other tangents, and then swing back to what's relevant to us. Say that every week. Zesha Omar HaKosev. So here is an introduction of a posuk in Mishle. Shot lasus, a whip to a horse. U meseg lachamor, and a bit for a donkey, to restrain it, that it go the way you want it to go. So, who are these referring to? Who are these psukim referring to? That sometimes you restrain the horse in one way, with a whip. You have to sometimes be ready to whip it. And sometimes you need a restraint, like a bit or something else that would be put in the harness of the animal, to hold back the ezel, the chamor. So shot lasus is a reference to the paro harishon, the first paro that we encounter in the Chumash, which is when there was a famine and Avraham Avinu left from Canaan to Mitzrayim, and the paro then took Sarah, his attention was called to her, and he took her. So he's called a horse. Now here the Radal says he's a horse because it represents the issue there was about adultery, was about licentiousness, and horses stand out in their adultery, in their licentiousness, and Mitzrayim in the Nevi'im is analogous to a horse. V'zer masusim zar mosam, it says in Pasuk. The flow of a horse is their flow. So horse could well represent someone with a Mitzrayim background. And Chamor also, says the Rashash, is also metaphoric for somebody who has also a lust for licentious behavior. But we'll see, a horse has more arrogance to him, is usually the symbol. So it's the first paro. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says over there, that there was a whip to Paro. What was the whip to the horse that refers to the original Paro? Vayinaga Hashem is Paro al dvar sorai av eshes Avram. Hashem had brought plagues maybe in plural, unto Paro because of the matter of Sarai, the wife of Abraham, the wife of Avram. Now we know Sarai was the wife of Avram. Just less than 10 psukim before, it said Avram married a Sarai ishto, and he went to Canaan. So we know Sarai was Ishes Avram. So Matalmud Leimar Ishes Avram. So Frek the Midrash. The Midrash says, what does it teach me by saying that she's the wife of Avram? So on that he brings another pasuk in Koheles that says, Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'echad. That's probably where the old adage of two heads are better than one comes from. Two are better than one. Because sometimes I can't handle the bundle, the whatever burden I have, and the other person helps me the seif tzishtelen in order to set it up. And va'omer, and there's another pasuk, that's a general lesson that two are better than one. But then we have a specific pasuk by Avram himself, Ula Avram Hetiv Ba'avura, that to Avram, Paro gave him favors, he gave him gifts because of her. So Avram was maybe deserving, and Sarai was deserving, and because of the tag team combination of the two of them, there were favors done to him. Now that's one way of looking at it, but why do you need the general pasuk first? So the general pasuk in Koheles, the Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'echad, according to the Marzav, is coming to say that Paro was smitten, he had the plague, because of the combined merit, the combined schus of Avram and Sarai. So Tovim Hashnayim, the two are good. Then Min Ha'echad, they received gift from the one, from Paro. As a result of the relationship of Sarai, the zchus of both Sarai and Avram brought affliction onto Paro. But not only that, they extracted from the Echad, from Paro, they extracted gifts. That's what I would say in the short language of the Marzav over here. Okay. Now, what is Meseg Lachamor, the bit in the mouthpiece for the donkey? What is this part of the harness that restrains the donkey that we're talking about? So here he says, Zehoya Avimelech. This was Avimelech. Now, why doesn't he just say Zeh Avimelech? What's the Hoya? By Paro, there was more than one Paro. It doesn't say Hoya. And we're going to see which Avimelech or when it was. But there may have been more than one Avimelech. But in any case, what the word Hoya is, I'm not sure. Ze Hoya Avimelech. Thus is Gevesen, this was Avimelech. So what about Avimelech? Amosai, when do we find that he was restrained? So the Pasuk is in Parshas Vayera. After he had taken Sarah, Ki Otsor Otsar Hashem, Hashem had surely blocked the cavities in the bodies of everyone in Avimelech's house, Bad Kol Rechem. He closed every womb that was in the Leves Avimelech, that was in the Avimelech household. Now, we're going to see over here a little bit more about Avimelech. We're going to see what did he really do wrong. He claimed he was misinformed and wouldn't have done anything had Sarah not been Sarah. But on the other hand, Avram Avinu knew human psychology and he had Ruach HaKodesh. He knew Avimelech was trouble. So, I mean, what's going here? So we'll find out soon. So we're going to see what it is. Hashem did afflict Avimelech, but Hashem appeared to Avimelech during a dream, and at that time hischil mishabeach atzmo. Avimelech started to praise himself. Vomer, and he said, what do you mean? I'm an innocent man. B'sam levavi v'nikin kapai, and it says asisizos. I did what I did, taking sorrow with the purity of my heart and the cleanliness of my hands. And then he says, Vechsech gamanoichi oischa mechatoli. And I also prevented myself from sinning to you. So Avimelech is saying, basically, I was a good guy. And the truth is, on the surface, it looks that way. So now we're going to try to explain with a parable, with an analogy, where Avimelech did wrong. What was really here? So, and we're going to see something that the Mefarshim point out might not be apparent in other Midrashim. Avimelech wasn't entirely an innocent. He wanted to do the wrong thing, but was restrained. Let's see first what it says. We'll see a lot more than that. So it's analogous l'chamor shahaya adam reichev olav. It's analogous to a donkey that a person was riding the donkey. Ra esatinek b'shuk, he sees a little child in the marketplace. Now this kid is in the crossroads. Now normally if you're in a car and you have a child crossing at an intersection or at a street or wherever, you go on your brake and you stop. If you can't do that, you drive around the kid. But that's, let's see what happened here. Kofatz olav lo hiziko. So the donkey jumped above the child and didn't damage the child. Now that looks like the donkey is one of these smart ones, should be on one of these entertainment shows. Hischilu mishapchin lachamor shedolag alatinok. Meheptan seleben the sezel, they begin to praise the donkey that it sprang over the child of Elohizika. It's a trick wielding donkey. They start to praise the donkey very much. So Amru Lohem Ba'olav, the owners of the donkey start telling the people who are full of praises, they said, Chayechem, I'm telling you something that you can take with your lives. You can take this to the bank. This I'm swearing is true. Ilule ani shehim shachtiv beresen shel piv hoyom aziko. If I didn't go on the brake, in this case, the brake equivalent is the harness. Had I not pulled the harness of the donkey to restrain it, or to give it the order to jump, it would have harmed the child. So in other words, he's saying, don't give too much accreditation, too much credit, too much acknowledgement to the donkey. You know, the donkey has a driver, and don't forget about the driver of the donkey. And don't drive yourselves crazy. So Kachomru, the same said, people said at that time when they heard that Sarah was taken by Avimelech, and she was basically abducted, but she was there in his house, and he didn't ended up not touching her. So the people in the street said, oh, he's a wonderful man. Kosher hoyo Avimelech Alimelech is fit. He didn't get near Sarah. Yeah, he's with her in an intimate position, but he didn't get near her. So he's a great guy. He's truly an ethical paragon of ethical behavior. So Omer Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to them, it doesn't mean God didn't appear to the masses in the city of Gror, but what he means is, by the affliction that Avimelech received, I believe that was how God told everyone. The message was, no, hu hoya mevakish. He was searched. He wanted to do something to her. And the Mefarshim here bring that he was actually out to have physical contact with her and probably beyond. That's what the hu hoya mevakish. He was searching to do it. But ani, I, Hashem, lo yinachtiv, I didn't allow him. I'm the one who schlepped him away. It was not of his own decision. It was not of his own volition. I pulled him away. Shenemar, as it says, Al titein Hashem ma'avaye rasha. Hashem does not give the desire or the lust of a rasha. He doesn't give it to him. So that's the meseg lachamor, the harness or the restraint of the donkey, is Avimelech. That's what happened over here. So lechach nemar, therefore it says, umeseg lachamor v'shevet lego psilim, or legev psilim, that there is a meseg for the chamor, for the donkey, and there is a whip for the fools. Ksil can either mean a fool or it can mean a rasha. But we'll see. That really belongs, although it's not punctuated that way here, this really belongs with the continuation, as we will see. I just, out of deference to the text, I read it that way. But the truth is, it's separated. And we'll see what that refers to. So far we had two people with not very impressive records of righteousness. The original Paro, who never claimed to be an angel, but he got afflicted anyway. Then there was Avimelech, who claimed to be a good guy. He got afflicted because in reality he wasn't a good guy. He at least looked good to some extent, although I don't know why. I don't know why taking a person into a woman into intimacy and then being about to lay your hands on her. Okay, maybe people didn't know that part, but even so, he went that far. That's not exactly total innocence. So I don't know. Yeah, probably. I mean, because that Avraham Avinu ended up saying that Rakin Yiras Elokim b'Mokam Hazeh, there's no God fearing in this place. Yes.
Can you simply imagine a period or a semicolon that the end of this drasha is L'chach Namar U'Mesek L'Chamar?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Then following is then the doctrine in the Sefer.
This is what I'm trying to say. That's what I said. I said I read it out of deference to what's printed, but then I said it really belongs with the next part. That I meant exactly what you're saying. But we'll see that in a second. But now we're going to come to that. Okay, second is up. So v'shevet legev psilim, the whip to the backs of the fools, or rishayim ksil Rashi throughout Koheles and other places uses the word Rasha for Ksil, to define Ksil. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel always says a Tipushaya or Shtusaya. He says it's somebody who's a fool. In modern Hebrew, I think, in more modern contemporary Hebrew, Ksil is usually a fool. But Rashi says in Biblical Hebrew that it's a Rasha, and Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that it's a fool. So anyway, who is the whip to the back of the Kesilim? Zeparo v'hamitzriim. Now we're going to talk somewhat about our theme of this parsha, about Paro and the Egyptians. So we're kind of on target now. So it says, Shekevan sheniskalu b'makos, sheloi b'toivosom, sholchu es Yisrael. That once they suffered a lot of loss that was not for their good, then they finally sent the Jewish nation out. So the Bishalach Paro Esa'am was Hashem wanted to do it in such a way that Paro's going to send them out. Hashem could have thrown the dust in their eyes, so to speak. I mean that more proverbially. Hashem could have done something that just took us out. But Hashem wanted Paro to submit and send us out. So there were many makas that were sheloi b'toivosam, that were not for the good of of Paro and the Mitzrayim, and then they sent out Yisrael. Okay, now we're going to come back for some reason to a mashal for Avimelech. We already had a mashal with the donkey. Now, what are we going to do over here? This is, according to the Marzav, this should be a Dofer Acher should be here. And the Pasuk, Shot La Susu Meseg Lachamor, we have a Dofer Acher. On one hand, we're going to stay with the interpretation that the Meseg Lachamor is a reference to Avimelech, but we're going to make another point with a different Moshel. So Moshel Avimelech, to what is it similar? What's it analogous to? So he says it's le'echod shenichnas lefaltin shel melech. A person goes in, echod, a person, I don't know who this person is, but whoever he is, he goes into the palace of the king. The notal diplomater shelo ba'afela. In the dark he goes. I guess they didn't have very good motion detectors then. But he has some type of a vessel that is like a box, and the Marzav tells us it's full of pearls. And it's a little box, but it is doubled over. It's doubly doubled over. And it's all in the dark. No one sees him. So Yotza, he left the palace. Usfaso, and they caught him. Omer lo hamelech. So the king asks him, Ma biyodcho, what's in your hands? So the guy is starting to get all nervous. His teeth are chopping together, but I can't say that and do it at the same time. It's like Shomer V'Zachar to me, can't do them both. So whatever happens over here, he is afraid to open his mouth and answer that he, you know, most brazenly went into the palace, saw no one around, so he figured there's some self-service over here, and he treated himself to a little box, a little drawer of pearls. So he's afraid. Hoya Mirsas, he's trembling. El Treiseltzach, he's afraid to answer. So the king says to him, Omar loy, Loma to Mirsas. What are you afraid of? What do you have to be afraid of? I didn't see any no trespassing sign, but what are you afraid of? So maybe you're not so innocent. Shema natalta klum min apaltin. Maybe you took something out of the palace. He's got a big diplomater in his hands. Maybe you took something from the palace. Now, I think at that time, especially if I'm scared, I wouldn't have a choice but to say, yes, I think this is yours, you know. I thought it was a little loose on one foot, so I thought maybe I'd, you know, at least admit what it is and make a good excuse. No such luck. Lo, no, I don't have anything of the palaces. So then the king asks him, the evidence is right there. Exhibit 1 shows otherwise. Umaha diplomater hazeh minasone lecha. What's this lovely diplomater that looks like it might belong to me? What's it doing in your hands? Who gave it to you? In other words, he's saying, I know it's not just yours. So you didn't steal it. You didn't take it out of the palace. Then somebody must have given it to you. Who gave it to you? So that's the end of the parable. So, Kach Omar Avimelech Lefneihu Elokim. He said, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog. Avimelech in his dream says to God, he says to the Almighty, would you kill a nation that's also righteous? So what is he trying to say? Omar Loi, Avimelech said to God, Telokim Yodeya Ata Shelo Nagati Ba. He said, "Dear God, you know it all. You know I didn't touch her." So Omar Lo, so Hashem, kind of, I have a little bit of God's thinking I expressed earlier. So Hashem says, Tavi Melech, oh, you're totally interesting. A married woman is here in your bedroom, and you're so innocent, you didn't touch her. Uma Ishtai Shel Ish, what is the wife of a man, Osa Etzlocha, doing by you? Vachshav Shilcha Shi Yeshesvish. And now you're sending her away that she's married. What was she doing here before? You're telling me righteousness. I have her here. And, oh, I didn't do anything intimate yet. Yashikayach, what's she doing there? Yashikayach. So Hashem says to him, Hincha meisal ha'isha asher lukachta. You're going to die for the woman that was taken by you against her will. You're no innocent. What's she doing here? You know, it's like the diplomater in the hands of someone to whom it doesn't belong. Yeah, you're caught with the goods. So then the pasuk continues. The midrash quotes Va'ata, and now Hashem Saish, return the married woman to her husband, and don't worry about him. Kinovi, who Avram Avinu is a prophet. He'll even pray for you. Of course, he had to ask forgiveness. That's a Mishnah in the 8th parak of Bava Kama. That's a different issue. Now, what does it mean, V'yispalel ba'adcha? Avram Avinu is going to pray for you. You better pray for yourself. Avram doesn't owe it to you if you'd snatched his wife to pray for you. So what does it mean over here, he's going to pray for you? So today is an Moshul day, parable day. We already had three, we actually had one parable. We had with the donkey. We had another one over here with Avimelech playing like a big innocent. And now we're going to have a third one about Avram Avinu praying for Avimelech. Moshul Levrosh HaMedina. This is analogous to the head of state, the head of country, head of a state. Shesholach es avdo etzel hadayin lahakoso. He has a servant who is no Mr. Innocent. He deserves lashes. So the head of the country, why doesn't it just say a master? Why does it say the head of a country? Maybe we'll figure it out later. Right now I have no way to know. So in any case, this head of the district or head of the country sends his knecht, his servant, to the judge to receive lashes, to have a sentence of lashes. Caning, I believe we call it here. And in some other places they actually do it. Now, here no head of states were intervening not to cane this poor boy. I guess he wasn't an American citizen. So, I see you all have good memories. The Hischil Mevakesh Min Hadayan. So, the servant is begging from the judge, can the cane? Don't give me any caning. I don't need this. So Omer lo hadayin, the dayin says to him, li lo asisa davar. You did nothing to me. I got nothing personal against you. I'm not gonna have you caned for any personal reason. Your problem is with your master. He's the one you need to convince. If you don't convince your master that you're innocent, his charge has to be honored, and you have to receive the caning. So, Yoimar Adonecho Vani Manichacho, let your master give the word. Let him say, he's my servant, let's leave him alone for this time, and then I'll leave you to go. But until that happens, I'm obligated by the nature of my job to cane you, or have you caned by the right person. So that's what's going on right here. Now, this was meant, the Marzav says, I don't see why this is the head, the master is the head of the district, but the Nimshal says, the Marzav is, it's referring to Avram Avinu, who was the father of many nations. So that means he was a father, he was a head of state over the Philistines. They were from Egypt, from Chom. They were for the servants of Shem and Yephes. And so basically, what's happening over here is a high-ranking person says, this servant deserves a caning. There's no appeal on the part of the servant. A head of state so powerful says, is kumtem klep, he's going to get lashed. That's what's going to happen. The judge says, you know, it's not my call. I just can go with what the law is. You have to go to the man whom you allegedly offended and get him to give me the word, then the charges are off. So, kach omer Elokim, that's what Hashem said. Avraham, who is like the head of state, Mosar li dino, he gave me his judgment, Mayemish, last night. He said, well, whatever God decides, that's like the Dayan over here, whatever the judge, or in this case, whatever Hashem himself, Vetisidirin, whatever God will decide, that will be, the punishment is given over to God. Let God fix and deal with Avimelech. Ve'ani hichtafti, and I had it written, in Tehillim, through David HaMelech, Shani, that I am, something we all said this morning, I am Osem Mishpat LaShukim. Hashem, it says, does justice for those who are oppressed. Va'ato Ashakto, you oppressed Avraham Avinu, therefore Yispalel Alecha, if he'll appeal on your behalf, he will pray for you, so and I'll leave you alone. Vani os v'cha, I will leave you alone to your devices and certainly will not extend this punishment. So that's Avraham Avinu, shenemar v'yispalel ba'adcha v'chye. He will pray for you and you will survive, you will live. So what we have over here is that over here, unlike the first Rash, that we said the whip to the horse refers to Paro, over here, the whip to the horse refers to Avimelech. So then we will see Meseg Lachamor, as in the first case was the reference to Avimelech. Over here, it will be about Paro. We'll see how that works. The Meseg Lachamor will be about Paro. But what we have so far over here is that the grievance was a grievance on the part of Avram. It was his wife that was abducted. So if he forgives Avimelech, so then Avimelech's got a chance. Now the Gemara also learns from this that if you harm, do an Avera, Beinodam Lachavero, let's say I sinned to another human, I caused that person damage, and I have to pay him. So the Mishnah says, I referred to that Mishnah, I mentioned that there was such a Mishnah in the 8th chapter of Bava Kamma and Achayvel. It says over there, Afal pi sheshileim, the Mishnah says, I believe even though he paid the damages, I slashed someone's tire, God forbid, I paid him for a new tire, but eina nimcholat sheyevakishloi. It's not forgiven the sin, okay, I made restitution, true, that's a good step. But the restitution does not forgive me for the Avera unless I ask the person's forgiveness. Once I ask his forgiveness, and I do it in the right way, not in a bluffy way, like worthless apologies, it's a really showing that I feel bad that I did it, and I express that I don't plan, or the way I express my remorse shows I'm not intending to be a repeat offender, That's forgive. Then that's asking. That's what a real apology is, not just one of these. Oh, I'm sorry, and you go on and do it again, like so many do. People just say it without thinking. I guess maybe it's better than not saying it. Maybe not. That's not for me to decide. But it's not an apology. That's not how you ask an apology. So the Mishnah says it's got to be the real apology. Restitution is important and must be. But that's not the entire forgiveness until you apologize. That's what's learned out in the Mishnah in Bava Kamma from here. Now, let's see. Let's get running a little bit twisted. Let's see what time it is. 26. Yeah, he should. If there's no reason, if it's a real apology. A lot of apologies aren't real, and you can see the person will do it again. You know, the person's not really conscientiously apologizing and realizing he did wrong. Then, I mean, I say it, I mean, people don't like it when I say it, but there's no obligation, al pidin, to forgive a person if he's apologizing and not really meaning it or not doing it in the right way. Because the halacha is open. My argument is, it says Hashem doesn't forgive you if your attitude is echda va'ashuv, I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva. Or if your attitude is ashuv echda, I'll do tshuva now. I'll say I'm sorry, God, and I'm not going to work on myself to improve. There's no mechila. So I'm a human. I have to emulate God. I can't be more than God. God doesn't forgive somebody for that. Why should I forgive someone for that? I have to have stronger restraint, stronger midas than God. I don't know why I would have. It doesn't sound very popular to say, but I think that that's the truth. Anyway, umesag lachamar, should we stop? And when is mincha today? Should be like... It's better to go 44. Most of us are now probably 44. Yeah. Okay, so umesig lachamor. Umesig is like the bit or the part of the harness that restrains the donkey. So here he says, here, unlike the first one where he said that referred to Abimelech, here he says that this refers to Paro. So you have to know exactly what the machlokes is. I mean, you could turn this either way. So, you know, that I'll leave now. We have to learn it first before we can speculate what the difference in the two versions is. But mishal paro l'mahadover doima. What would be an analogy to explain paro? So he says, l'roe echad, there was a shepherd. Now, we're going to see a difference here. Because this is not going to be about the original paro. This, I believe, is going to be about our current paro in Mitzrayim. So there was a pastach, as we say in the old tongue, a shepherd. Shehoya roya chazirim. He was a shepherd of swine. Motza rochel achas. He found a sheep that was a female sheep that was roaming by itself. Mishocha b'neim, so he brought it in, he incorporated it to be part of the herd of the swine. So sholach b'ayla etzlo, the owner of the sheep sent word to this swine shepherd. V'omar lo, and he said, or v'omar, I'm sorry, tein li recheli, give me back my sheep. So this guy denies it. Omar le, ein lecha etzli rochel. There is no sheep of yours by me. So that's what he said. So he's proving what the Gemara says: a stam roya, a stam shepherd is a gazlan. But there the Gemara says because he'll graze his sheep in where other people's land. So here, however, he's one upping it. He's taking away the other guy's herd. He's a semi rustler over here. But anyway, stam royas are gaslanim are posuladus. It's a din. You have a whole gemara dafein bofemitziyah, and you have it in Sanhedrin. But in any case, the guy says, I don't have your sheep, your shaf. So Omar Habal, so the owner of the sheep says, well, he's going to say, so he says to the guy, you know, he's no fool. He says, Hodiu li mehechan hu mashke be'moisov. So he says to some people, let me know, where does this guy feed his animals? Where does his swine get their drink? You know, he doesn't have plumbing on premises. Where does he go to what water hole? So holchu, they went for hodiyu, whoever it is he sent out. I guess they stood in the background, a reconnaissance unit. They reconnoitered and they told them, "Oh, we know where it is." So what does the owner of the sheep do? V'sosam es hamayonos, he stuffs, he closes the well springs. Now the guy can't get water. Now he says he's starting to put the heat on him, a little pressure. So he says, Shalach li recheli, send me back my sheep. So he said, Ein lecha biyadi rachel, he's being tough, he's still standing up. And he says, what sheep? I don't have it. So the owner of the sheep says to his reconnaissance group, Hodiyu li mehechanu marbitz es behemoisav. Let's find out where he lays his animals to rest. His reconnaissance boys went out on the job. His Sayeret Matkal went. And they told him where it is that his sheep have their pens. He went and he dismantled the various pens or the huts where the swine are located. So now he sends another message. Shalach li recheilis. He says, I'm continuing to play hardball with you. Give me back my sheep. Omari said, I don't have it. Ein lecha biyadi rachel. I had in my possession, I have no sheep that belongs to you. So again, the owner of the sheep wakes up his reconnaissance people and he says, Hodiyu li hechan hu roa. Let's find out where he grazes. Holchu, they went. I have umodiolo, it should be vahodiolo, I think. And they told him, Visoraf is kol ha'isev shohayolo. So he goes and he puts out a fire. He burns all of the herbage where this man's swine might graze. And again he tells him, Shlach li recheli, send me back my poor little sheep. Omar ein locha biyadi klum, he says, biyadi rachel, I don't have your little lamb by me. So Omar, he tells his intelligence, let me know where his son goes to learn in an askoli. You can see he's from school. Yeah. He's now apprehending the son of the man, and he says, send me my sheep. Once he took his kid, then he gave in, and he said, Hare Rechelcha, behold, dein shof is da. Your sheep is here. Yeah.
So you're amending actually a modiyal. You're suggesting that mem is a balsofer.
I think it is. But I didn't check texts on it so much. But I do believe it's a typo. I can look in other editions of Midrash. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be part of my homework if I'm able to get to it. So anyway. So hoya manig v'holech, v'yachar kach chofsho etzel b'no. So he took away his sheep from the guy, he extricated it, and then he captures the man and brings him, he captures him and puts him with his son. So Omar Lay, now the man in captivity, the former swine shepherd says, achsha vein recheilcha, biyodi, my sheep is not in your possession anymore. Loma tochav shani, why are you putting me in captivity? What else do you have of my? What else is there in my possession that belongs to you? So he says, we call it in English restitution. Shani mevakesh mimcha, what I want from you is kol ma sheyolda, any sheep that were given birth through my sheep. I want the offspring. I also want the shearings of kol gizoseha, kol ayomim shahoysa etzlocha. I want real, anything that came out of my sheep when it was by you, anything that it produced, I want it back. I want that equity. So Hischil Saveach Vomer, now our captured swine shepherd begins to come out with a little external bravado, and he starts screaming and saying, Ulevai loy nesatiha, halevai, I never would have given you your sheep back. Then I would have been a hero. This really resonates today in the crazy world we live in. You'll see, v'hoyu bnei adam oimrim, people would say, oh, he's tough. He's resolute. Amad bidvarav, v'leishol chaloi, v'hu shebikish lahargoi. He's standing by his word. He's denying he has it. He's not sending it, even though the guy's threatening to shoot his head off. He's threatening to kill him. I would be a hero, right? I would be another whatever. I don't know. I don't know who I should name as an example. I would be a the Che Guevara of my day. I guess I do know who to name. So kach. So the same now is the parable. Are we running short of time? I think we might be. Yeah? Okay, we'll see what we can do here, though. Though we'll have a little bit at least to end of this. So that's what comes out over here. Where am I? Yeah. Hamelech, who is the king here, whose sheep was lost. It didn't say that he was, it said Habal, the owner, but so now he's saying the king. So who is that? It's a melech malchei hamlochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Almighty. Who is the sheep? It's Klal Yisrael. Who is the shepherd of the pigs? He was in a harsh land and his people were harsh. That's Paro. So Yordu Yisrael l'Mitzrayim v'nosnu aleyem misim. The Jewish nation, meaning the sheep, went to Egypt, and taxes were placed on it. So there was a lot of production or extraction from the sheep. I would assume so. Shenemars, it says, Vayyasimu olav sarei misim. It says, they placed officers for the shtoyer and for the taxes on them. And then it says, Kol habin hayilo, all the sons that are born. So there are children, there is equity, like having offspring and shearings of the sheep. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins and he says to Moshe, tell Paro, Shalach ami v'yavduni, send my nation out so they can serve me. So v'omer loy, Moshe went and he told Paro. So what did Paro say? Then the Shmois is chiloymer, mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo, who's God that I should listen to him? So Hischil Moshe v'omer l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Moshe starts and he says, Tashem harei u'omer mi Hashem v'inaritza l'shalach. He said, who's God? I don't want to send them out. So Moshe says, Hashem says to Moshe, Heichan ab, he knew the answer, but Heichan Mitzrayim shosim, where does the drinking water of Egypt come from? So Moshe says, from the Nile, Minilos. So Hashem says, Hafoy choysi l'dam, transfer it into blood. So here it says Moshe said it, although another midrashim it says God told him that he's telling him not to do it. But here he's sending Moshe to turn it into blood. Whatever, there are ways to resolve the midrashim. But Omar le ini yochel lehoifchay, I can't convert the water into blood. Why? Because yeshadam sheisem in abeir mashlich heaven l'saycha. If you drank from the well, do you throw a stone in it? Like there's a gemara like that. Bir deshasas minei, right? Yeah, that you don't throw a stone into it. So it's the same idea here. He says he said also in Den Devachayvul in Bava Kama that the bir deshasas minei. Can you drink from a well and throw a stone in it? The Nile saved my life. So Amarli, he said, okay, you knew what I wanted. I meant Aaron should do it. Yelech Aaron yivyafchenu. So Holach Aaron, Aaron went vihikohu. He hit, he struck the Nile, and it became blood. So Lama lo hikoyse Moshe. Why this repeats it? So the Marzav says this is a mix of another midrash somehow that was blended in. Those are things I can't deal with. But anyway, that's what the Marzav could deal with it, and that's what he says. So why doesn't Moshe do the striking? We just said why. But Omar, he said, I was cast into the Nile and it didn't hurt me in my infantry. In infanthood, I mean. Not my infantry. My infanthood. See what's happening. Uvishvil kachiko Aaron. Therefore, Aaron did the hit job. Okay, we must be running short. Okay, Amir Tzashem, we'll see the continuation tomorrow. That's right, that's how it started. Which is why it was.
So Moshe told him to turn the women to black, like he